We are talking about being physically fit as a body, bodybuilding. This is Matt's idea, not mine, okay? I just want you to know that. But how many of you have ever entered into any plan for physical fitness? And you just sort of, there are a few of you, yes. And have you done this by going to a health club? Any of you that courageous? Okay, well, you don't look like it, but anyway. You know, when you go to a health club, I went to the website. So there are quite a few of them in town. There's more and more all the time. You can go to Steve Nash, right, over this way, or you can come this way. There's Good Life Fitness, or there's Cheers. That's the VRC, where you want to go, VRC. Or on my end of town, Anytime Fitness. I want to try that place out. Anytime. I want to see people that are working out at 3 o'clock in the morning. I don't know who those folks would be. I think that's what that means, Anytime Fitness. I checked the websites, and the deal is that they're trying to create a picture of what the new you could look like. And I want you to know that I did not find this picture on the website. Okay? This is not the picture that our health clubs are putting out there. This is the picture of the new you, right? No? It's the picture of the new me, that's for sure. Or this is the new me. That's how I get there. All right? Now, the truth of it is, when you go to a health club, what they're really trying to communicate is that all three of these people are welcome, right? Doesn't matter where you are in your physical fitness, that you belong, that you can come and be a part of a community. It's no longer just about you coming and sort of on your own, kind of with your headset on, you're going to do this kind of as an individual workout. More and more, we're trying to create community because we understand a very important principle about physical fitness, that we need the encouragement and sometimes just the guilt that other people put on us to continue with this often difficult journey of becoming physically fit. So there is this endeavor to create this fitness club where all three of these people can belong. They feel welcomed and supported. They offer training and encouragement. And so they want people to come and look in the mirrors that somehow are all over the walls of the physical of the health clubs and begin to see a new picture of that person emerging. Now, I don't know if you have any inspiration around that when we talk about bodybuilding in that health club picture. Now, I certainly don't want to be so foolish as to try to suggest that this become a spiritual, physical, spiritual fitness club. That is just too, that metaphor doesn't work for us at all here. But I do want to suggest to you that the body of Christ is intended to be a community, a place where we can take an honest look at what our spiritual physical fitness is, and we can hear the Spirit of God communicate to us about what the picture is that God has for us as we continue in this development, and that all of us are a part of a community where the whole purpose is that we will become fit. I would call this a full life kind of fitness. And so when the body of Christ gathers, we gather in order to encourage and to hold accountable the discipline that we enter into so that we will experience physical or spiritual fitness. Wouldn't it be great if, as a way of life, you and I would get up and look at the mirror every day and say to ourselves in the mirror, look, this is the picture that God has of you. You are the complete person. You have every reason to walk into this day with confidence. You have every reason to be, you have no reason to be anxious. You have nothing to fear. You have everything that you need. You are as alive as you ever will be. You belong to the community of people who are being developed into the very likeness of Jesus, the Son of God. This is the picture that God has of you. This is what God sees of you in Christ Jesus. Today I want to use as the foundation for my teaching Colossians 2. Paul says this, "For in Christ lives all of the fullness of God in a human body. So you also are complete through your union with Christ, who is the head over every ruler and authority." When you came to Christ, you were circumcised, but not in a physical procedure. Christ performed a spiritual circumcision, the cutting away of your sinful nature. For you were buried with Christ when you were baptized, and with him you were raised to new life, because you trusted the mighty power of God who raised Christ Jesus from the dead. The picture that God has of the new you is the picture of Jesus Christ himself. For God, the picture of the perfect person is Jesus. He is the fullness of God himself in the human body. You and I are complete in our union with Christ, this text says. This union was performed by Christ in his obedience to the Father, cutting away our sinful nature. The key to all of this, Paul says, is this spiritual response in baptism. In baptism, God transforms the image in that mirror into the new likeness, which is Jesus Christ. We died with him and we are raised to life with Christ. That is a powerful picture for us to grasp today. So today my objective is, and Karen, I am going to need that water that you kicked over, okay? I'm just going to point that out. So there's more coming. I don't know why I don't bring a bottle of water, a cup. I kick it over every Sunday. I was saying something. What was that? You know what? I got in at 1 o'clock this morning, so if I'm not on my A game, all right, just work with me here. Oh, I was saying that today my objective is to preach on baptism. That's the theme. And I really want to speak to all of us, because I think those who are baptized, and that's probably a lot of people in the room, you know what? We kind of lose sight of the picture. We don't remind ourselves. We aren't rehearsing again what happened in that testimony of baptism, whenever that was in your life. And so I want to remind you, and I want you to be inspired and encouraged. So again, you understand how God has accomplished something that is absolutely miraculous for all of us who are now baptized into Christ. We are in union with him. So I want to speak that encouraging word to you. But I also want to speak to those of you in the room who are saying, you know what, I'm not baptized, and that might be because I don't yet understand that. I don't know what that is. I haven't yet understood what it means to make a decision to follow Christ, so to be in relationship with him. And I want to, again, just invite you to consider that decision to turn your life toward Jesus, to follow him, and give you an opportunity to do that. But I also want to invite you to do that through considering the decision, the public testimony of baptism. Some of you have made that decision to follow Christ, but you have not yet somehow understood the importance, the biblical importance, to this important act of obedience, which is called baptism. So this is why we believe baptism is an essential part of building this body, South Abbotsford Church. This comes from our confession of faith. Thank you, honey. We believe baptism by water is a public sign that a person has repented of sin, received forgiveness, died with Christ, and been raised to new life through the power of the Holy Spirit. Baptism is also a public declaration of a believer's incorporation into the body of Christ as expressed in the local church. That's from our confession of faith. So now I want to just unpack that for you again. by looking at the scriptures. Baptism is the public telling of your story of repentance and faith in Jesus. It's the first story that we tell in our life of faith in Christ. Acts 2. Here's the early church. Jesus has been crucified. He's been raised to life, has ascended to the Father. The Holy Spirit comes down and visits the little group gathered, and they are filled with the Spirit and make this great declaration of faith in Jesus in the languages of everyone who's gathered there in the city of Jerusalem. All the people who have come from all the many places of dispersion of the Jews, and they give witness to Jesus. And this is what happens. Peter preaches or gives explanation to what the people are seeing. And Peter's words pierced their hearts, and they said to him and to the other apostles, "Brothers, what should we do?" And Peter replied, "Each of you must repent of your sins and turn to God and be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins. Then you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit." Now, those two verses tell us a great deal about this obedient step of baptism. Conversion involves a turning, a changing direction, a reversing of the focus of our lives, and that our fundamental loyalties in life now are no longer just about me and my interests, but they are towards God and His interests and His purpose for my life. It is essentially a commitment to God in response to His invitation of offering us forgiveness and a new life in our faith of and through Jesus Christ. So we repent of our sin and we enter by faith into a relationship of trusting Jesus Christ alone for my future relationship with God, my salvation. And that's what the Bible teaches. So repentance signals that there's a radical turn that's going on in my life, my thoughts, my values, my way of thinking. And I'm repenting. So Peter says, how do you respond to this evidence that God's doing something? Well, you repent. You say, "Oh my goodness, I have been going the wrong way. I am following a false set of values. I am belonging to a false kingdom. I want to belong to the kingdom that follows Jesus, that believes God and His plan for my life and His purpose for me. So I repent of my ignorance and my disobedience, my rebellion, and I turn the other way." And then faith is not just believing that Jesus is God's son, or believing that Jesus was a good man, or believing Jesus' teaching, but it is trusting Him. And this is the key. Faith is trusting by faith that His death on the cross became the price to pay for my sin, which I should pay for. And He has done that once and for all. And by believing that that's done once and for all, I place my faith that His life is now my life, that His rightness in living is now my rightness in living, that His acceptance in the presence of God, His Father, is now my acceptance into this relationship with God, my Father, or our Father. This is faith. And it, once and for all, deals with who we are, why we're around, what we do about the problem of our own inadequacy and sin and failure. It deals with our sin, and we are forgiven and renewed and restored. This is placing our faith in Christ. And baptism is the public storytelling of that decision. You can get baptized privately, but the whole point in the book is that baptism was a public confession. It's a public event. And so it's intended to be this storytelling to people who are going, "What in the world is going on in these people's lives?" It is a drama, a story of faith. So around here, We do baptisms primarily here in our sanctuary. So in that sense, it's public. And we have a video testimony. So a person prepares their story. This is how I have come to this point of decision that I want to repent and place my faith in Jesus. And then we make that out loud confession of our repentance and of our faith. Yes, I repent, and yes, I believe. And then we have a water baptism by what we call immersion. We immerse the person in water, and they dramatically go under the water where they can't live, and they die in that act of going out, going under the water, and we raise them out as a demonstration that they're now a new person. They have been washed by the work of Jesus Christ, and they're transformed. And then we pray for the filling of the Spirit and the blessing of the Spirit in their life, and we usually give them a scripture that someone important to them will pray and give to them, and then we have a public celebration. We clap and we cheer and we thank God for what has taken place, and it builds the body, let me tell you. Would you agree?
Amen.
It does. So it's public. I remember Karen and I a couple of times. I don't know if you've been to White Rock, when I'm not sure which church it is, if it's if it's the Alliance Church or one of the, I'm not sure which one it is, but there's a church that regularly has a baptism at, right by the wharf. I don't know if you've been there when that happens. And I'm always amazed by the numbers of people. I think there are probably people from the church who are gathered, but there's just, you know, how busy the wharf is at White Rock, and people just stand around going, what in the world are these people doing? And particularly if it's like in February, what in the world are these crazy people doing? And people are interested because it is a storytelling. And if it works, then there's conversation that goes on. Well, let me tell you what they're doing. These people are telling their story about deciding to follow Jesus. Why would they do that? Well, it's a wonderful kind of declaration of what takes place when we follow Jesus. I remember Karen and I quite a few years ago when we spent some time in Maui. We had been a part of a church there. I think it was called Hope Fellowship or something. I forget what it was called. And we realized, we didn't actually know what was happening, but we were there on the beach, and there was this, I think they were doing this for like maybe 2 or 3 hours, baptizing people. And there was just this steady stream of people going in, and the beach was like, what's going on? What are these people doing? Giving witness to the decision to follow Jesus. So baptism is a telling of that story. But baptism is a spiritual transformation. It is, the scripture says, union with Christ in death and resurrection. That's what Paul says in this Colossians 2 passage. That's what our confession of faith says. It expresses union with Christ in a way that makes us one with him. So listen to Romans 6. I'm going to spend a little bit of time here. Or have you forgotten that when you were joined with Christ Jesus in baptism, we joined him in his death, for we died and were buried with Christ in baptism, and just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glorious power of the Father, now we also may live new lives. So the transformation, the change, is not just in the act of baptism, it's in what God has done in our life by bringing us to this invitation, this response to the invitation of trusting Jesus Christ and repenting of our sins. So in Romans, faith is the means by which we are united with Christ and we are justified. In other words, there is a court that says you are no longer guilty for the sins that you have committed, for the rebellion that you have lived in. Jesus has taken away your guilt, so you are justified. You are now free in Christ to live your life. So faith is the means by which we are united with Christ, but we show this faith, we say this faith is a symbol, or it signifies that we have followed Jesus in faith by the act of baptism. So faith unites us to Christ. Baptism tells the story of that union, of dying and being raised with him. It's like when you're at a wedding ceremony, and we use this phrase, with this ring, I thee wed. I don't use quite that language, but let's say that's the language we use. The ring doesn't marry anybody, right? But the ring makes an announcement. It is a drama, if you like. It is a lifelong announcement that a commitment has been made and that there is a discipline to live in faithfulness to your spouse, and that no matter what you go through, and times when you may struggle in that marriage, where there may be disagreement, where there may be conflict, or times when you go through difficult health circumstances or challenges with your children. But you know what? We're committed. And my ring just gives announcement to the fact that Karen and I have been faithful to each other for almost 44 years. Thank you, Jesus. But that ring doesn't keep me married, but it gives announcement to that. So, in a way, baptism becomes that continued announcement of that faithful commitment to Christ, which now has transformed my life. So Paul is saying, with this baptism, you are united to Christ. And the point and the focus here is that we're united with him in death, his burial, and his resurrection. So we go on in Romans chapter 6. Since we've been united with him in his death, we will also be raised to life as he was. We know that our old sinful selves were crucified with Christ so that sin might lose its power in our lives. We are no longer slaves to sin. Thank you, Jesus. And we announce that we have died to that slavery to sin, and we are no longer living in fear or a sense of inadequacy of the times when we continue to sin. Because we know that when we sin and we confess our sins, that he is faithful. And the justice has been completed. He is faithful and just to do what? Forgive us. And while I don't want to take sin lightly, I want to deal with it completely by confessing and receiving again that forgiveness which was completed on the cross of Jesus Christ. I have died to the bondage, to going, oh no, I am such a loser, I'm such a failure. Hey, by the way, I'm reading a really interesting book. It's called 12 Rules for Life, Jordan Peterson. Anybody read it? Reading it? Elmer, you told me about it, thank you. What a great book, and I won't spend any more time. I just recommend it to you, read it. Psychology professor at the University of Toronto. I don't know if he's a believer, but he's certainly given witness to the gospel. Hey, Elmer? Yeah, it's pretty great. There you go. In baptism, by faith, we're united with Christ in his death, his burial, and resurrection. And baptism portrays that as a drama. So here's the deal. We are having a baptism on June the 10th, and we are going to invite people to walk through what that confession, that public storytelling, will mean. And those opportunities to go through that are May 6th and 13th. So note those. I think they're in your worship handout for today. And I would love it if we have, even as a result of today, people that say, you know what, I have been thinking about this, or I didn't even understand what this was, and I now get it, and I want to do that. I want to be baptized as a way of telling the story of my decision to repent, to have faith, and to enter into union with Christ, to be his person, to be called a Christ follower, a Christian. And I want to make that announcement in baptism. So let me answer a couple of questions. Don't have a lot of time. Were the disciples of Jesus baptized? Well, yes, they were, although we don't ever have a story of them being baptized, but several had been disciples of John the Baptist, and so they were certainly baptized by John. And we recognize that Jesus entered into that baptism of John, and it was an important point of his obedience to God the Father. John 4:1 says, Jesus knew the Pharisees had heard that he was baptizing and making more disciples than John. And then in parenthesis, John says, though Jesus himself didn't baptize, but his disciples did. So we know that Jesus and the disciples went about baptizing people who were making the choice by faith to follow Jesus. So yes, Both Jesus' disciples were baptized. Jesus himself was baptized. We have that story. And they baptized followers. So is baptism only by immersion in water? Well, what I want to say is here at South Abbotsford, the only kind of baptism that we'll practice is what we call immersion. So there's a big tank, kind of like a big tub that we put right here, and we immerse people. Other faith journeys do practice both pouring and sprinkling, and I'm not here to sort of say that one is more legitimate than the other. Biblically, to be baptized means to be dipped or immersed. So biblically, people will say, well, that was what the New Testament church practiced. John's baptism, of course, says was generally in the Jordan River. Not entirely sure where Jesus and his disciples baptized people, but they did. We have the story in Acts of the of Philip, who has by the Spirit is sensitized to an Ethiopian man who is really searching. And when he comes to faith, he understands who Jesus is. He sees some water there, don't know what kind of pool or swamp or whatever it was, but said, hey, what prevents me from being baptized right now? And Philip said, nothing, let's do it. And so they were baptized. So we know that it was an act of submerging them or immersing them. So we practice immersion, and so that's what we choose to do here. When should a person be baptized? Listen to this. This is another Acts story. I'll just read it. Then this is the story of Paul and Silas in Philippi, and they're put in prison for apparently causing a riot, causing disturbance because they're preaching Jesus. And anyway, there's an earthquake, and kind of the buildings all fall down, and the doors are opened in the prison. And of course, the Philippian jailer, you know the story, how he, as seeing this act of God's power, repents. And then he brought them out, the Philippian jailer brought them out and asked, sirs, what must I do to be saved? And they replied, believe in the Lord Jesus Christ and you will be saved along with everyone in your household. And they shared the word of the Lord with him and with all who lived in his household. So they taught them more about what that meant. They gave witness to what it meant to follow Christ. And even at that hour of the night, remember, they just had an earthquake, buildings have collapsed, and it's in the middle of the night. And even at that hour of the night, the jailer cared for them and washed their wounds, and then he and everyone in his household were immediately baptized. So once you get baptized, I say right away. Right away. You don't need to kind of jump through any hoops. You don't even need to know a lot about it in my thinking. You need to have a basic understanding. Jesus is God's Son. Jesus was obedient to his Father, came and lived and taught and then went to the cross to die for my sin. I believe that. I want to trust him. I don't know a lot more about it, but I want to do that publicly by confessing that Jesus Christ is now where my heart is turned toward. My arrow of life is turned towards Jesus. So get baptized right away. Is there a reason to wait for baptism? Well, there might be circumstantial reasons, but there's no biblical reason to wait for baptism. Sometimes in the church, in some of the churches that we've been raised, we've sort of said, well, you need to kind of go through this kind of this teaching, or you need to be a certain age. Well, listen. The deal is that we don't baptize babies here, and I'm not going to spend a lot of time as to why, just simply saying that we believe that baptism has to be a decision of faith of the person. So what we believe is that a person needs to be able to articulate that faith. Now, how old do you need to be to articulate faith? I mean, we can debate this. Some of our kids called Karen and I about 2 weeks ago and said, hey, you know what? Today, quite amazingly, our 3-year-old and our 5-year-old prayed to ask Jesus into their heart. And I'm just like, whoa, awesome! My grandchildren are following Jesus. And then I think, 3 and 5? Come on, really? Do they get this? And what I know is that when those grandkids come to my house this afternoon, as they are, they're going to tell me this story because, well, they've already been over since then and they've already told me it. And they can articulate this as a personal decision that they each have made. 3 years old, come on, really? Yes. Now, should we be baptizing a 3- and 5-year-old? No. But can children understand what's happened and be baptized? I think here we teach baptism to our Kids Quest children. We teach to our middle school children. We teach to our high school children. We teach to our adults that baptism is an important step of obedience. And when parents, in this case with children, discern that the time is right, the time is right. And with that kind of discernment, and often with the added kind of discernment of members of our deacons board or members of the pastoral team, we say yes. And so we don't want to stop people from being baptized. Oh my goodness, why would we do that? So we want to practice this in a way. You don't have to be 14. Like when I was growing up, it was like, okay, I'm 14. I guess I should get baptized. Well, that wasn't an entirely valid reason for me to consider baptism. So is there a reason to wait? Well, age might be that. Readiness and understanding might be that. There might be physical reasons that, or a reality that maybe there's a opposition from a member from the family or something that you need to be careful about. So yes, but at some point that baptism needs to take place. Here's what Ray Bystrom has written in Baptism Church Membership. A temporary space between faith and baptism may be healthy in some cases, as for some very young persons, but when professing people with credible conversion experiences postpone baptism indefinitely, they are really declaring their unwillingness to submit to the Lordship of Christ. Faith without the good work of baptism is incomplete. And so I just would say to you, there isn't a good reason, there's not a biblical reason to delay baptism. Well, there's a few other questions, but I think I've covered some of these enough. So I want to make one more point. Because we're talking about building the body, this isn't just about you and Jesus. It's not just about, well, I decided to follow Jesus, so I'm going to get baptized, and it's just about me. And, you know, and we're just going to do this with, you know, myself and a couple of friends, and we're going to do it, you know, at a beach somewhere. Well, that might be a valid place for a public confession of faith. But I want to say that it's intended as well for this to tell the story of being baptized into a relationship. And the relationship is to Jesus and to the people who have also declared their repentance and faith in Jesus. Listen to what Paul says in 1 Corinthians 12, and then I'm going to read Ephesians 4 as well. The human body has many parts, but the many parts make up one whole body. So it is with the body of Christ. Some of us are Jews, some of us are Gentiles, some of us are slaves, and some are free. But we have all been baptized into one body by one Spirit, and we have all shared the same Spirit. Ephesians 4, Paul says a very similar thing. For there is one body, one Spirit, just as you have been called to one glorious hope for the future. There is one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father over all, who is over all and through all and living in all. So baptism is also very much a body life kind of thing. It's about building the body. Now there's some just practical things about this. One of those is, like, a baby isn't just born. And we just sort of say, well, great, you're born, and just kind of live on your own. A baby is always born into relationship, community. A mother, father, and sometimes the circumstances don't always provide a good, strong start for a baby. But we understand that an infant in life is born into a family. There is relationship. There is care. There is dependence to begin with. There is teaching and training over a period of time. There is relationship. Spiritual babies are born into relationship. We are in a family. The Bible is very clear that when I am baptized, when I do that as telling my story of both repenting and placing my faith in Jesus, that it's also about the body. And maybe we need to rethink exactly how we as a body accept that responsibility for those spiritual infants. Because we often kind of, you know, kind of leave them on their own, generally to find their own way. And the teaching and training, making of the disciple. When Jesus gave the Great Commission, he said that we go and we make disciples, baptizing them and teaching them, right? So there is this, like, we need mentoring. We need spiritual parents in the process. We're baptized into this community, into this relationship. And so we belong. You're not going to accept Jesus Christ and kind of live as a, independent sort of lone wolf kind of Christian. It doesn't work. It's not possible. You are baptized into Christ. Now, Matt and I agree that I will encroach a little bit to make this connection on what he's going to talk about next week, and that's how do we build the body by belonging to a local body like this one, South Abbotsford Church. He'll talk about church membership and how we understand that biblically and what does that mean. But it's founded on this, that our baptism is into something. We are initiated into a family, into a community. We belong, and it's called the local, or it's called the body of Christ, and then we give expression to that with the local bodies of Christ, which are local congregations and churches. And so, yes, we get into a body by faith in Jesus. We become a part of his body, his family. And Paul uses that metaphor of the body, uses it often about how the body functions and how each part is unified under the headship of Jesus. And so we have a place, we have gifting, we have opportunity, we have a place to function in a way that's coordinated. So baptism gives expression to this relationship. But there's also this connection to what happens with the Spirit. So we enter into the body of Christ, but then there's this connection. All of those texts that I've read, there's this connection to the work of the Spirit. You see, there is the indwelling member of the Trinity, which we call the Holy Spirit of God. And the role of the Holy Spirit is to take up his place, his dwelling in the life of believers and in the gathered community of believers, by way of each individual believer who becomes a part of that body. And with the Spirit is among us, because the Spirit lives in us. And the Spirit of God is pointing us to Jesus, teaching us about Jesus, and speaking back to us who Jesus is. What is God saying? What does his word mean? The Spirit's working right now. There's a transaction that's taking place. I'm reading the scripture, trying to give explanation, but the Spirit is communicating, is working in our hearts. And so this is what takes place in body life. This is how the body is built. And if we're not a part of that body in some way, if we say, well, I'm just going to go off and kind of cocoon myself as a Christian and just hang out on my own, and I can listen to podcasts, I don't need the headache of being in relationship, you can live that way. And I'm not saying that's, you've now forsaken this decision to follow Jesus, but the whole intention is, the whole metaphor, the whole picture, the whole story is that we're in community. And that community will one day give expression to this body of believers who now worship Jesus before the throne of God. And so what is then is already now. We're in a body. We're in the body. Let me put it that way. And Matt will talk more about what it means to be in a local church. Here's what J.I. Packer said in answer to the question, is it possible to repent of sin, place my faith in Jesus, be baptized, surrender to the work of Spirit, but say, look, I'm not a member of the body of Christ? And he says this, the New Testament idea of initiation, that of becoming a Christian in the church, there is no flight of the alone to the alone. We are saved in company as units in the body of Christ, or not at all. Obedience to Christ demands that we join God's visible community. Time's gone. So I want you to take a look at these pictures that I showed you at the beginning. So in a greater way than just simply the physical body that each of these individual people would represent. They represent, in a way for me, this whole picture of what God's up to among his people. See, wouldn't it be great if the body of Christ is understood as that place where God is at work to develop the new person? It's not on their own. It's not just kind of isolated in some spiritual health club somewhere. But we understand it as a work that God's doing in bringing about transformation of the person, but of the body, of strengthening, of building up this body. And we need to continue to find new and better and deeper ways to be in relationship with each other, because our culture is mitigating against this by all of the isolation of the aloneness that is so much a part of our cultural way of living. So, you know, we say, well, come to the church, and we sort of still live that way. And part of what we're trying to say in this whole series is, no. We actually have to be very intentional about driving against that current to say, we are the body of Christ, and we enter it by relationship to Jesus, through repentance and faith, through telling the story of baptism, celebrating that, and committing to each other to be made into disciple makers, to continue to grow in what it means to be a follower of Jesus, and to become fruitful, as Jesus says in John 15 and 16, that you might bear much fruit, so that we will also multiply ourselves in the multiplication of ever-growing disciples. That's what God is up to. So my invitation is this as we come to a close. For those of you that are baptized in the room, so what have you heard today? What has the scripture said? What's the spirit? What's the transactions taking place? How are you like, oh man, yeah, you know what? My baptism has just been kind of a symbol somewhere in my past memory, however old I was, whatever that was about, and yeah, I don't even. No, the Bible says this is an incredibly important moment in which a transaction, a spiritual transaction took place. You came into union with Jesus Christ through his death and his resurrection. Holy Spirit, will you infuse new meaning and life and significance into the people, into my life, around this act of obedience, baptism. It builds the body. It builds my spiritual body, but it builds the body of Christ. And we say, that's our anchor point. That's our entrance point. That's where it all started. That's where the drama took place, and has been, the story's been written ever since then. And so I pray that there will be an infusion of both meaning and understanding, but of a commitment to live that out. You're telling a story of your baptism continually in your life, giving witness to Jesus. And for those of you that are saying, you know what, I didn't understand, I don't exactly, didn't know what it meant to become a Christ follower, well, I want to invite you today to make that decision. You're here for a reason. God's been working in your life. He's calling you because he loves you and does not want you to perish, to receive his judgment in your sin. He has provided a solution to the sin problem. It's called forgiveness. It's called being a new person. It's called entering into a relationship with a body of people who are on the journey together. I invite you to follow Jesus, and I invite you to do it by telling the story, the public story, through baptism. And we can say, yes, we understand it, we get it. We celebrate every time that story is told. Hundreds of thousands, millions of people in Canada being baptized. Can you envision that? So this morning, in a small sort of microcosm way here at South Abbotsford, I'm inviting you to respond. So let's bow our heads together. And this morning, for those of you that have, you know, been baptized, and you're saying, you know what, I just, I need to be infused with a new sense of understanding. I want to live this out. I want it to become so much more than my, than just a distant memory. And God's been speaking a word to me. I just invite you to again receive. Say, yes, Holy Spirit. Thank you for this word. May this word give life to me. I invite you again to infuse my life with the work of the Spirit so that I might in a greater way move in my journey of being the disciple. And I commit myself to being a disciple maker, to multiply what you've done in my life through the way I live and give witness to that in the lives of others. I pray that prayer. So if you've prayed that with me, just again, receive the confirmation, the love of the Father, that this is the right kind of infusion of meaning and life and inspiration that will build your body and our body by your understanding of that. And today, if you are a person who has said, I didn't understand that, and I want to follow Jesus, and I want to give witness to that through baptism, either because you've never known that you're a follower, have never made that decision, or perhaps you've said, I have made that decision, but I've just never followed through in baptism. Again, I want you to, in your heart, this is a personal decision of faith that you make, to turn your life over to Jesus and to be obedient to the call to be baptized, to repent and to believe, to give confession of that faith in Jesus. So Jesus, for those individuals here in the room today that you're just, by your Spirit, opening that up as a revelation, I pray that there will be now a confirmation of that decision through the obedient step of becoming baptized. And so I'm not going to ask you to come forward or raise your hands. I'm going to ask you to come to the baptismal class on May the 6th and find out more about what it means, and then to potentially enter into this public storytelling of your faith on June the 10th. Your decision, your point of action today is to decide to consider baptism through further teaching and then taking that step in just a few weeks. So Holy Spirit, I ask you to do that work among us here. Thank you. We receive your word and we worship you and live our lives with purpose and meaning so that we might become people who are both disciples and making disciples, people who walk in obedience, faithful to your call in our lives. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.